Hey everyone, welcome to Mosaic House Online Worship. When my son Joshua was about 4 or 5 years old, I would come home from work, and you know what? One of his favorite things to do with me was he would dress up in the Spider-Man's costume. That was his favorite superhero, Spider-Man. And as soon as I would walk into the house, he would jump. He would run towards me and say, "Let's wrestle." He'd go, "Rah!" He wanted to wrestle with me. How old was he? 4 or 5. And he would hang on to my leg. And what do? I go, "Oh, I'm going to fall. I would fall to the ground. And then he would jump on my chest and pound on my chest. And he would turn me over. He says, "I'm going to turn you over like this." And I go, "Boom!" And he's on top of me. He's on my chest, stomping. And then he just turned me over again. And I'm on my stomach, lying on the floor. And then he would just do a choke on me. And I go, "Tap out, Spider-Man. You win. I lose. Tap out." Why am I saying this? In any moment, I could break this little child. But I would wrestle with him, and I would let him win. And I want him to know the following things. Number one, son, wrestle with me. I want to wrestle with you. Number two, when you wrestle, you're going to win. And number three, as you wrestle and as you win, I want you to feel like a superhero. Now, in a way, prayer is like wrestling with God. I'll say more about that. And in a way, your Heavenly Father, the Lord God Almighty, the most powerful being in the entire universe, what He would want you and me to do is wrestle with Him. And when we wrestle with Him, He's going to make sure that we win. And when we win, He's going to reveal something about this really profound revelation that He wants to bless us, that He wants to reveal His face to us. I want to take you to the book of Genesis in chapter 32. This is the history of Jacob. Jacob is one of our patriarchs, one of the fathers of our faith. There was Abraham, and there was Isaac, and then there is Jacob. Father Abraham, his son Isaac, and Isaac's son Jacob. And here's what I believe that the Holy Spirit would have us to learn from Jacob. How to pray. And what happens when we pray? So come with me. Come with me. Let's go to Genesis chapter 32. Hear the word of the Lord. "That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. And then the man said, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' The man asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Jacob,' he answered. Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome.' Jacob said, 'Please tell me your name.' But he replied, 'Why do you ask my name?' Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, 'It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared.' The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, our God and Lord, May the meditation of my heart and the confession and the praise of my lips be acceptable and pleasing in thy sight, O Lord. And Heavenly Father, use this fallen human being, a sinner, to bring glory to your name as we reveal, as we see the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Friends, here's the theme and the goal of this message. Please write these words in your sermon outline. And I want to encourage you to download the sermon outline, because when you use it, it will serve you for the better, for the better. The theme and the goal is this. Prayer is not getting things from God. Prayer is getting God himself. Indeed, this is a profound, profound statement, profound truth. Most of us think of prayer as, I'm going to ask things from God. I'm going to need health. I'm going to need wealth. I'm going to need relationship. I'm going to need provisions. I'm going to need food. We ask God, we go to God in prayer to get things from him. Now, fundamentally, first and foremost, at the very center and at the very core of the theology and the doctrine of prayer is not so much getting things from God, it is getting God. You recognize all you need is the Lord himself. All you need, all you got to pray for is the presence and the blessing of your Heavenly Father in heaven. You will receive the benefits from him. He will give you health. He will give you wealth. He will give you provisions. He will give you food. He will give you clothes. He will give you a roof over your head. But more than any of these things, first and foremost, and the order is paramountly important, what he wants to give you is himself. That is the ultimate blessing. To have God, your Father in heaven, right next to you, walking with you, laughing with you, blessing you, holding you in his bosom. That is the most, most important, most fundamental need of your life and of mine. And only then should we ask things from God. So that's it. Again, prayer is not so much getting things from God, but rather, in prayer, what do we get? What is the ultimate purpose of prayer? It is getting God himself. I want to break it down into three things. Okay? So therefore, number one, prayer is wrestling with God. Prayer, number two, is surrendering to God. And number three, prayer is seeing the face of God. Seeing the face of God. So let's take one step at a time. Number one, prayer is wrestling with God. Write that word, wrestling with God. When you pray, you are engaging in this active, participatory discipline as a disciple of Jesus Christ in prayer. And prayer is much like wrestling. How many of you watch the MMA fights? It is hard. It is rigorous. I can't think of any other sport, any other competition that is any harder than wrestling in the MMA. So WWF, that's a joke. That's all, you know, make-believe. It's a show. But the MMA is a real thing. And these fighters, they go at it and they grapple and they fight. They throw punches and kick. And it is real. Prayer is like wrestling with God. Not against God, but with God. And I think that's a really good differentiation. You're not wrestling against God. You are wrestling with God so that his will be done, his kingdom come. I pray every day. I pray every day. Lord, as I pray, may your kingdom advance. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, as I pray in this hour, may your will be done in my life. So prayer is wrestling actively with God Now, second point is prayer is surrendering to God. And we're going to spend more time on this. And that's because I got to tell you more about the history behind Jacob and about his life. There is our patriarch, the father of our faith, Abraham. He had a son, Isaac, and Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. So here is how the story of Jacob unfolds. Number two, prayer is surrendering to God. So when Jacob wrestled with God, as he wrestled, he was surrendering to God. And what was he surrendering before the Lord? That's what I want to take you to and explain to you. Let me take you to Genesis chapter 25. When the time came for her, this is Rebekah, the wife of Isaac, to give birth, there were twin boys in a womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Check this out. The name, the meaning of the name Jacob means what? It means he grasps the heel. He seizes the heel. Now, a Hebrew idiom came out of this expression, which means the meaning of the word, the name Jacob means he deceives. So from the mother's womb, here is Jacob trying to struggle, wrestle by seizing, grasping the heel of his older brother. And this is how his life begins. He struggles, he wrestles, and at the same time, what is the meaning of the idiom? He deceives. So for the rest of Jacob's life, you know what he does? He deceives people. He lies to people. He's a schemer. He's a con artist. He is a conniver. He's always having plan B. He's always being shrewd and spinning his mind and his plans in such a way he always comes out on top because he wants to make sure that he is blessed. Now, here's the key thing. His brother Esau, he was what? He was a skilled hunter. Now, in that culture, in that country, in that time, this was very significant. What the Bible is saying is Esau was an outdoorsman. He was skillful in hunting, and he was proficient at it, and he was very, very successful. He was a manly man. He was every man that every man wanted to be. And Isaac loved him. Isaac did not love the second son because the second son, Jacob, he was content being in the tents. You know what that means? Now, again, I'm not making this a stereotype. According to the time, back then in the culture at the time, Jacob was content with sowing. He was content with cooking. He liked being indoors. He didn't want to go out and hunt. He didn't want to go out and be a man. He just wanted to be like, as it were, he was at home playing house. Now, again, please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this is bad. All I'm saying is, at that time, in their culture, this was looked down upon. And therefore, Isaac did not love Jacob. He loved whom? The older brother, Esau. And there was the first instant in Jacob's heart. Can you imagine? Yes, you can. You have siblings. Can you imagine what you would have felt when you realize, when you found out that your parents, your mom or your dad, favored another sibling of yours. They loved them, but they didn't love you. How would that have made you feel? And that is how Jacob's life began. And for the rest of his life, here's Jacob. The name Jacob means what? The one who deceives, the one who schemes, the one who connives, the one who makes sure that there's always plan B. He's always, always trying to make sure that he gets the blessing because there's a void and emptiness in his heart. He wants to be accepted and loved by his own father. And in order for him to get that, he does all the conniving and all the deceiving. So here's what happened. When Isaac was old in his age, he wanted to bless his son before he died. So he called Esau and said, "Hey, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you, my son, whom I love. So go and find me a game and cook me a really delicious meal so that I can bless you." So Esau goes out. In the meantime, Jacob, finding out what his dad's about to do, he disguises himself as his older brother Esau. He puts on himself Esau's clothes, and he comes to his father Isaac. He says, "Father, here's what you appreciate. Here's what you like. Here's what you enjoy. Now bless me." Isaac, thinking this is Esau, his older son, he blesses him. And Jacob gets the blessing. Now, friends, before we go on, one commentator that I read, he says, now, why would Jacob do that? Fully knowing that he is going to be found out. Yes, he's going to deceive his father. He's going to get the blessings. And yet he goes through it. And he knows that he'll be found out. And then he also knows that this will create a rift between him and his older brother. And the commentator goes on to say, even under the pretension, what he wanted the most in his life was the approval and the love of his father, saying to him, "My son, I love you. My son, I approve of you. My son, I am proud of you." That's why he does it. So Jacob steals his older brother's blessing. And then his older brother is about to kill him. So he flees. He goes to another faraway country. He goes to his uncle Laban. And then he does the same thing. He's always, always deceiving, conniving. He works his way towards, he finds that Laban, his uncle's daughter, Rachel, is beautiful and attractive. And he wanted to marry her. So Jacob comes up with a scheme. "I'm going to work for you, uncle, for 7 years, and now I'm going to get my wife, who was beautiful." Long story short, he does what he does, which is conniving, cajoling, jousting, and jockeying for positions so that he is blessed, because he's got that void in his heart, right? He wants to be blessed. So he marries Rachel, he marries her older sister Leah, and then he gets 2 more concubines, 4 wives. He is blessed, but that wasn't enough. There's still that emptiness and void in his heart. And he, at the end, has 11 sons. Again, it's a form of blessing in those, in that culture at the time. He was blessed, richly blessed. 4 wives, 11 sons, and it gets better. He connives, he cheats his uncle Laban, and he becomes really wealthy. He is a well-established, successful man. Well-established, well-successful, so wealthy. And yet, there's something missing in his life. So fast forward. He finds out that his uncle Laban no longer favors him. And that's because Jacob has become so wealthy at the expense of his uncle Laban because of his scheming and his shrewdness. So he fears for his life, and he's leaving uncle Laban, and he's coming back to his hometown. And when his older brother Esau finds out that this lying, deceiving younger brother of his is coming home, he is going to go and kill him. So he takes off with 400 strong men to kill Jacob on the road. And this is when this story takes place, at then night. What does Jacob do at then night? He sends his two wives, two concubines. He sends them off. The blessings that he had. He sends off the 11 sons, the blessings that he had. He sends off all the possessions that he owned. He sends off, you know what he's doing? And he's all left by himself. He is surrendering to God. He recognizes the following morning, the next morning, his older brother Esau is going to come and he's going to kill him. So he surrenders all that he thought was his blessing. So in prayer, you surrender to God. In prayer, what you recognize is, yes, wife is a blessing. Yes, children are a blessing. Yes, wealth is a blessing. But you recognize you need more than that. And what does he need more than that? Let's get to that. Number three, prayer, therefore, is seeing the face of God. The prayer, therefore, is seeing the face of God. So all night long, a man appears, a mysterious person. And what does the man do? He wrestles with Jacob. Oh, hang on here. He wrestles with Jacob all night. And then Jacob says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Unless you bless me, I'm not going to let you go. So this is the part of the surrendering. He realizes for the first time in his life, all that he needed was the Lord himself. More than anything else, yes, again, wife is a blessing, yes. Children are a blessing, yes. Work, wealth is a blessing, yes. But without having God in his life, he was still lacking. In the words of St. Augustine, there's a vacuum in our heart, there's a void, an emptiness, if you will. And we are trying to fill that void and emptiness with all kinds of things, all the good things in life, but it will never be filled. You will never be satisfied. You will never feel the blessing until that void is filled with none other than God himself. See, and that's why prayer is not getting things from God. Prayer is fundamentally and most importantly getting God himself. The blessing of all blessings. So Jacob wrestles with the man. And he says, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. And this mysterious man, he says, hey, the daybreak is about to come. Let me go. And the reason he says that is this. This man is none other than the Lord himself. Mysteriously, supernaturally, God came down and he wrestled with Jacob. And he said, hey, you got to let me go. Because when the daybreak comes, when the sun arises, then you're going to see my face. And when you see my face, no one can see the face of God and live. No one can see the face of God and live. And that's because God is so holy. He's so glorious. His glory will consume us. So he was trying to protect Jacob, saying, you gotta let me go before you see my face. Because when you see my face, you will surely die because of my holiness. And Jacob says, nope, I'm not going to let you go. Because what I need is your blessing. Bless me, Lord, before you go. Bless me, Lord. So, all night long, they're wrestling. all night long they're grappling and struggling, and it's an even match. And the Bible says, the man, the Lord, could not overpower Jacob. And all of a sudden, he touched the socket, he touched the hip, and all of a sudden, the whole hip was wrenched out of socket. It was violently, violently moved. So can you imagine? He is in excruciating pain. He can't leverage on his leg anymore. And yet there's Jacob still wrestling, still fighting with God, saying, I won't let you go until you bless me. And that's why prayer is wrestling with God. And God finally says, I will bless you. What is your name? Isn't that interesting? Now, listen, friends, when God is asking you a question, he's not looking for information. Instead, he is leading you to a revelation. Let me say that one more time. So important. When God is asking you a question, when God is asking Jacob a question, he's not looking for information. He is leading Jacob into a revelation of himself. Okay, what is your name? And he says, Jacob. What is the meaning of the word Jacob? The one who deceives all of his life. He deceived everyone. He schemed his way through to be blessed on his own, by his own merits and his own scheming. And God is saying, no longer will you be called Jacob. From now on, you'll be called what? Israel, which means you have wrestled with God and men, and you have overcome them. Because he saw the face of God as he wrestled. In prayer, you come to this face-to-face encounter with the Lord himself, and you recognize this is none other than God himself. But again, let me take you to Jesus Christ. Because this is not about you or me. This is really about the work of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Did you hear that? No one has ever seen God, but his Son, Jesus Christ, who is God himself, he has revealed the Father to us. In prayer, as you come to Jesus Christ, as you wrestle with God, as you surrender to God, what you are seeing is the face of God. How? It's the face of Jesus Christ, because he himself is God. And as you see the face of Jesus Christ, you realize the only blessing you need is God himself. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Did you hear that? You have received, if you are a child of God, you have already received every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ already. Because Jesus Christ is the face of God. If you see Jesus, you have seen the face of God, and Jesus Christ is the ultimate blessing. Prayer is not getting things from God. Prayer is getting God. And friends, listen to this. Listen to this. God saves you by his grace. Look at Jacob. He is not to be admired. There is no good thing in him. He's not a good character. He has no nobility or values that are admirable. And yet, it is this guy, this conniving, shrewd deceiver, God saves. And not only that, when God saves you and me, he doesn't stop there. He makes you and me a child of God. Do you recognize that he could have saved you and me as an image bearer of God? But he goes far more. He blesses you far more. He exceeds, he blesses you abundantly. How? By making you and me a child of God. You and I get to call God our Father in heaven. The blessing that Jacob always wanted from his father Isaac. God says to you in Jesus Christ, "You are my son, in whom I am well pleased. I love you. I approve you. I'm proud of you." And that's because God is making you his adopted child. Listen, friends, God cannot bless you anymore. This is the highest form of blessing there is, that when you see God's face and when God makes you his child, there's nothing left for him to give you or bless you with. He can't bless you more than giving you Jesus Christ and making you his son and daughter. So therefore, in conclusion, come to Christ. See the face of God. Because as you see the face of God in prayer, you will surrender to God. And as you surrender to God, you will keep wrestling with God. Not against God, with God, so that his kingdom come. His will be done in your life. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, our God and Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come to you and we receive your grace. We are unworthy. We are just like Jacob, trying to con our way towards being blessed. We work so hard to bless ourselves. And all the while, what we need the most is you, O Lord, Heavenly Father, and we have you. In Jesus Christ, we have you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. May this truth and this grace melt us and move us into people that love you and serve you. And may others be blessed by us now. In the name of Christ, we pray. Dear friends, let us proceed in this act of worship by bringing our first fruits and our tithe with joy, with gladness and gratitude to the Lord Jesus Christ, for he has given us every good and perfect gift which we need, which we desire. So let's do that by clicking Give Online button. And now, here's the benediction. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord turn his face towards you. And may the Lord keep you and bless you for both now and forevermore. And God's people said, Amen, Amen, Amen.